Now, throughout the pivot system manual, we have little exercises, and in the trumpet manual, there are 9 groups. That is group 1, group 2, group 3, and so forth up to group 9. Each group represents a day. So you say that the trumpet player has 9 days in his pivot system manual. The trombonist, because of the intricacies of the slide, he has 11 days in his pivot system manual. So every day is superseded by the pivot stabilizer, and then you start working on this material. Every little group, a group is an exercise up to where you see the check mark. Now the check mark means remove the mouthpiece momentarily to permit the blood to circulate in the lips. So you take one of these little portions of a group and you're going to take the whole group on one breath. Therefore, set your tempos in all drills so that you get through whatever part of the group would bring you up to the check mark. Set your tempos accordingly. And in most of these, you do not have to hurry because I want them dragged out to such a point that you get control at the very end of the playing breath. In all advanced playing, that is very important. Please make a mental note of that now. Controlling to the very end of the playing breath. And some players have control because they take breaths all the time. They're actually only working on the fore part of their breath, so to speak. But to control the very end of the breath, the dynamics, the length of notes, the range, the articulation, and so forth. That is very important to strive for that degree of advancement. And you can strive for it right here and now. So I repeat, every little group up to the check mark represents one breath, as far as you're concerned. The notes in there should be spaced so that that little portion of that group requires one complete playing inhalation. Now, the next point is, you must understand that I am not out to strain you at any time. So when you folks see a G above the high C in my trumpet manual, and the F above the high B flat in the trombone manual, don't get alarmed. We're training up to these things. Now, let us say that you played for a while and you've played the stabilizer and you were quite successful at it. And you played about a page and a half of your assigned daily routine. And suddenly you feel that the range is getting too high. You're straining. You sense strain. Please nip that in the bud. We're out to build up, not tear down with a few illogical, thoughtless practice moments. So when you reach a point like that, take your pencil and mark where you stop. Get in the habit of marking where you stop. Now, before resting, I want all trumpet players to get into the habit of running a low slurred chromatic from low C to low F sharp and back chromatically many times. Do it 4 or 5 rounds, or 4 or 5 breaths, I should say. And run it very fast and slurred and from MP to MF. That is moderately soft to moderately loud. And then rest. But always do that and get in the habit of doing that throughout the book. Trumpet players, trombone players, get in the habit of hitting 4 or 5 nice, juicy pedal B-flats. And do that always right before resting. Now, after the rest, let's say you placed a pencil mark where it got a little too high for you, and you did your low work, and then you rested. Now you want to come back. do not go back to the pencil mark, but go on to the next exercise. All right, if this goes out of range as well as the other exercise, all right, fine. Use a pencil mark again. Wind up on your low workouts, rest again, and you continue this way to the end of the group. Now, when you come through the book again, that is on the trumpet, when you've completed your whole book and you're coming back again and you're going over and over and over these drills, this time, make it your business to pass the pencil mark. In short, the pencil marks provide a scoreboard for progress. You're going to see what you can do. Now, there'll be days when you cannot pass them. Do not let that upset you. But the one point is, I do not want this to tear you down. These routines are strenuous. You are not used to routines this strenuous in most cases. So don't bite off more than you can chew. Take your doses small and get up from the table when you're still hungry. I don't, but you should. After your daily group, you go to the back of the book to a little thing called form studies. In the trumpet book, it's page 43. It consists of a little drill, which is nothing more than going up the G major scale in thirds and then coming down diatonically. Then the G major scale, the G major arpeggio, and the relative minor, which is E minor, the natural minor, E harmonic minor, then E melodic minor, then the E minor arpeggio, and then the G chromatic scale, ascending and descending. Now that page is taken in the key, written at least 44 different ways in the trumpet book, and quite a few more in the trombone book. The point is to make yourself do a certain thing in a certain manner at a certain time. That is control. And you are constantly striving for control. We take this control work and we take that page through all articulations given in that book. And this really does cover all articulations. Right to the end of the book. When you have concluded that, take your next key. You see where it says modes for study and practice, a new key a day. Well, I won't suggest a new key a day to most of you. However, I will say that for some of you, a key a week would be good. And when you get to a key which you're not too familiar with, then spend some time on that particular key, longer than the keys that you know. But the idea is to build up key fluency and fluency of technique and articulation. And I'm sure there's more articulation on those few pages than there are in, well, five or six books put together. So we do our work in three sections, plus some study. So start your day, after you've studied the encyclopedia, by reading your 35 points in the back of the encyclopedia. I gave you the page prior to this time. Then take your instrument and start your pivot stabilizer, carrying out all instructions that were given at your orientation and analysis period. When that is completed, and by the way, you do that open 2, 1, 1 and 2, in short, a half tone lower each time, and the trombone, it's 1, 2, 3, and 4 positions, a half tone lower each time, and you go through the page again as far as you can, and then forget it, and your group 2 work now is one of the groups in the book. And there is a different group each day. And finally, number 3, the form studies in the back of the book. Now, from this point on, I'm going into great detail and explain each daily group in the book. So if you didn't have a pencil and paper up to this time, you should have your book right in front of you, as well as a pencil and paper. By the book, I'm talking about Donald S. Reinhardt's Pivot System Manual of Studies. And it's a red, white, and blue book. And it's very necessary for you because this, in conjunction with your encyclopedia, I use as my material to get you over the hurdles, so to speak. So from this point on, please get your pencil and open your book to the first group, Group 1. Group 1 in the trumpet book and Group 1 in the trombone book. And remember, the groups that we're going through now are the second daily chore. The second daily chore. You never start on the group. You always start on the pivot stabilizer. Just a word to trombonists. When going through the manual, that is the daily groups, I'm not speaking of the form studies, but the daily groups, at no time is a so-called slur or no tongue legato tongued or soft-tongued. The tongue is never used as a crutch in this book. You use the soft tongue when it's so indicated. And it's not indicated for a long time in that book. Whether your slur is with the grain or against the grain. On the instrument, I do not want a tongue used. In other words, there is no soft tongue. Everything is a slur as far as you're concerned, unless you are notified in the book to the contrary. Now, please get that straight, because if you're going to legato tongue these drills, they're going to do you no good whatsoever. You're just wasting your time. You might as well go home and play scales. So I want to impress that on you. Don't tell me you smear from one note to another. That is not my fault that you have a slow right arm. We'll discuss those details later. But right now, please make an indelibly impressed mental note of that. Throughout your warm-up material, there is no tongue used for legato tongue purposes unless it is so indicated. Throughout the warm-up, use the following general rule, that you never play so loudly that you experience strain, or so softly that you feel a pinching or a holding back. However, adhere to the suggested dynamics throughout. I believe you'll find the dynamics are pretty well balanced. In the group one, that is the first day for trumpet, I wanted understood that the rest, which occurs in exercise 1, exercise 4, exercise 5, in group one, is 4 beats. As indicated, but during the 4 beats, do not reduce the mouthpiece pressure and do not inhale. In short, stand like a sphinx for 4 beats. No head movement, no instrument movement, no reduction of pressure, no breath. The same applies to the trombone. In the trombone, the trumpet started on page 17. Trombone starts on page 17. The same rules for the 4 beats. However, all notes are slurred unless indicated to the contrary. The notes are strictly slurred. In other words, there's no tongue assist. I made that clear, I thought, before, but we're going on. And again, number 1, that is drill 1, drill 4, drill 5, that is in group 1 in the trombone, pivot system manual, 4 counts of no lifting the pressure, no inhalation, no movement of head or horn. in both the trumpet and the trombone pivot system manuals, page 17 to page 20 inclusive, represents your first day's work and your second category of buildup. Remember, you started this day with the pivot stabilizer. That was number one. Number two is this work, which you see from page 17 to page 20. When this has been concluded, turn to the form studies, which commence on page 43 in the trumpet book and page 50 in the trombone book. And they were explained before on this tape, so I won't go into that. But your work is divided into three sections. Number one, the pivot stabilizer. Number two, the daily group. And number three, the form studies in the back of the book. I will not repeat the pages further on in this tape, so I'll say it once more. The form studies begin on page 43 in the trumpet manual and page 50 in the trombone manual. Now the second day. The second day you start again with the pivot stabilizer, but now you turn to group two. You have concluded group one the first day, or come as close to it as possible. The rests in drill one, that is the whole note, the whole four count rests, I should say. Drill one, drill two, drill four, drill six are now six beats. The four beat rests on the second day are now six beats. By a six beat rest in this particular case, I mean that for six beats, there is no reduction of mouthpiece pressure, there is no horn or head movement, and there is no inhalation. The first day it was four beats. The second day, this rest is six beats. And the third day, you'll find out very soon, is eight beats. So your group two, the second day, is in the trumpet book from 21 to half a page 25 inclusive. And in the case of the trombone book, it's from 21 to page 24 inclusive. And again, turn back to the form studies. Your third day. Again, start on the pivot stabilizer. But now, commence group three in your book. That's your third day's work. Now, all your rests, all your four-beat rests, whole rests, so to speak, in drill one, drill two, drill three, and drill four, now become eight-beat rests. The four-beat rests become eight-beat rests. I hope you understand that. Again, there's no lifting of mouthpiece pressure. There is no moving of a head or a horn, and there is no inhalation at that point. This develops control. In the second day's work, in one of the drills, I believe it was drill nine, you will notice you had octaves there. In between the octaves, I don't want a breath taken because it gives you a chance. It gives you a chance to cheat, so to speak, and move the mouthpiece and develop multiple umptures. Therefore, will you take your breath throughout the book exactly where I have it marked and exactly where I have the check mark. And where I have the check mark, I also mean to remove the mouthpiece at that point from the lips to permit blood to circulate. And now in that third day, that's group three, we come to drills five and six. And an ascending arpeggio and then descend diatonically. At the top of the arpeggio, please make sure you do not breathe. Each one of these are in one breath. Therefore, the lower you go because the air consumption is greater, please increase your speed slightly on your lower drills. Don't forget, each key is in one breath, so set yourself accordingly. In the case of drill six, the arpeggio coming down and then ascending diatonically, do not breathe at the bottom of the arpeggio. Conclude each key before removing the mouthpiece, and taking a breath. When you've concluded this work, return to number five, that is Joel 5 and Joel 6, and an octave higher if possible. Now let us say that your range hasn't developed to a high G on trumpet, that is a G above the high C, or the F above the high B flat on the trombone. Then we're going to start an octave higher where it's possible for you to do so. Let us just say I happen to turn here to the key of C in the trombone book. It's in Joel 5, it's on page 26. All right, if you can play a C, play that drill, put a pencil mark where you started. Do the same in the drill 6. Wherever you need a pencil mark, put it down. But when you come through the book again, try to start ahead of the pencil mark. In other words, we're constantly increasing range. Again, I repeat, we are not trying to tear you down. Therefore, rest when told to do so, because the parts rested are just as important as the parts played. Group 4. Group 4 in the trumpet playing manual of the pivot system, drill 1, drill 2, and drill 3 are actually spiderweb warm-ups. The spiderwebs, I call them that because they move up a half tone, down a half tone, up a whole tone, down a whole tone, up a tone and a half, down a tone and a half, until you cover two octaves. And each one uses an axle starting in a different place. First one, the hub of the wheel is C. Second one, E. Third one, G. Now let us say you did get through the first one, but you got somewhere in the second and third line of drill 2. Then use a pencil mark. Get in the habit of doing this. After your rest has been completed, do not return to the pencil mark, but go on to the next drill. Let's say you have another pencil mark. Again, follow the same course. Now, drill 4 in the trumpet manual, drill 4 on page 29, and drill 10 in the trombone manual on page 30, there is no breath at the conclusion of each measure, because that would permit you to alter your mouthpiece position. The four measure phrase is on one breath, both the slurring and the attacks as given. When you come to tenths, which is at the end or the last drill, the same thing prevails. The four notes are one breath. Strive to match your tone quality of your slurred tenths with your tongued tenths. Like all other days, you turn to the back of the book now to the form studies. All right, the fifth day. Fifth day for trumpet. First time through the book, you play half notes slurred with the fingers as they are marked. In other words, G is 1 and 3, slurring to B 1 and 3. And this is done to make the hump greater and to give you a little hill to go over. So don't feel that I'm putting you out, so to speak. The first time through the book, play that as written. The second time through the book, make quarters out of it, the way it's written. It says, this slurring may also be practiced in quarters, eighths, triplets, 16th, and sextolet values. So each one represents a week, or the time it takes you to get through the book. So let's say that the first time through the book, you play half notes. Second time through the book, quarters. Third time, eighths. Fourth time, triplets, and so forth. Now you come to drill 2. This is a very, very strenuous drill. If you'll notice, you slur it once, and you make a repeat without taking a breath, and on the repeat, it is staccato. The purpose there is to put the tonguing on the low part of the breath, so to speak, where control would be vital. I told you when we started this, I'm constantly aiming at control to the very end of the playing breath. Now, if you did the tonguing first, and on the repeat I had you slur it, you'd have no trouble with the drill. But since I have you spend some of your air by slurring, and then finishing up by staccato, well, the point is a little different. Now, in the case of the trombone, drill 2, on page 32, that is in group 5 of the fifth day, the first time through here, yes, you finally do use your legato tongue. Legato tongue. On the repeat, staccato. So all the drills, in drill two, I should say, on page 32 and 33, and drill three on 34 and 35 in the trombone books, that the first time through is legato tongue, and then the repeat without inhaling is staccato. Again, the lower drills consume more air, therefore increase the speed of the lower exercises. That's a good thing to do anyway, by the way, to get a little more life on our lower tones. Now at this point, the sixth day, the trumpet does deviate from the trombone. Because of the intricacies of the slide, well, the this part of the book is comes later in the trombone manual. So I will go on at this point, explain the sixth day or group six for the trumpet. First of all, study the air chamber theory. Study it. If you have some questions, well, that's why I'm here. So please ask me. You come to the first drill. The first drill is slurred. The G to the low C to the G is slurred. You go through the whole drill one, all slurred. And again, removing the mouthpiece where you see the check mark to leave the blood circulate, as you have before and in the future. Now, you repeat it. It's not staccato, no. You just repeat it with detached notes, so to speak. And please use the indicated fingerings. That's very important. Go as far as you can. Go as far as you can in this drill, and I warn you, it's strenuous. If you see in drill 5, on page 36, trumpet players, that I ask you to play a high B-flat open, I'm fully aware of this. That even though the note's flat, it still represents an air chamber, and there's nothing you can do about the overtone series. So we go right along with it. The same as the series. On drill 5, the high B-flat is flat when played open. In drill 9, on page 37, again, I'm speaking the trumpet language. I want to mention the fact that that's written as an F, but the note is actually between an F and an F sharp. It is so sharp. So the same as the chamber with a B flat is flat, the chamber with the F is sharp. Now, at the very end of the drills is another form that I want you to apply to all the drills in the entire sixth day. So that you take drill 1, for example, and it asks you to do it slurred and staccato. Well, it's slurred, but actually, the staccato is at the end of the drill, and knowing that you wouldn't look there, I'm telling you about it now. So you take it slurred as it's given, and you conclude the drill slurred, removing the mouthpiece at the check mark, and return and do it with 16th staccato, single staccato notes. And each drill going through is done the same way. When you finish your sixth day, Mr. Trumpet Player, you turn to the back of the book, the form studies on page 43, and continue wherever you left off the day before. Now the sixth day for trombone calls for a little alteration. Here in drill 1, it's just to get you started, but drill 2, it's really the crux of the whole situation. I've taken all the bumps on the instrument, that is the places where you change air chambers, or would cause a bump. That is the F to the G flat, 1-5, F to G, 1-4, F to A flat, 1-3, F to A, 1-2, F to B flat, 1-1, and then some pedals to wind it up. The idea is to avoid the bumps, the jolts, the thrusts, or clicks in slurring, and we're going to work for that, and that's what this whole routine is about. So I've taken every place where you have a changeover for trombone of air chambers. So in drill 2, it starts on F to G flat, and the positions are written 1 to 5 in that case, not 6 to 5, because I do want you to get over the hump. In drill 3, it's 1 to 4, the B flat to the C flat. In drill 4, the D to the E flat, 1 to 3, and so forth. Winding up on pedal notes, and conclude your day on the form studies once more. Drill 7 in the trumpet book, the first two little drills at the top of the page are simply to remind you of the vowels that you're supposed to have read about in the front of the book. So that is not the play. It's to serve as a reminder. So if you'll read the 7 points, you'll understand very, very much what I'm talking about now. So we take all these drills in the same manner. First of all, we're interested in introducing dynamics into slurring. So our first drill is C to the G. It's very pianissimo, very rapid, and with a repeat. Now we do the same thing with the second finger, which is a half tone lower, the B, F sharp. And now we make it piano. And the third time through, the first valve, which is B flat F, now it's MF, moderately loud. And the fourth time through, it's 1 and 2, the A to the E, down to the E, and that's fortissimo. So we're taking different pitches, and we're taking a different level of dynamics each time. Now you return, and you do the same thing in a single tongue staccato, starting very softly with the open instrument, then a half tone lower, soft, another half tone lower, moderately loud, and then the A to the E, the last one, 1 and 2 combined, and play very loud. Go as far as you can, and when you've done that, then again, go to the back of the book. Now, group 7 in the trombone book is a position study. It's to match tone quality and to match intonation with the, I won't say true and false positions, I'll say the true and the alternate positions, because positions are only false when you make them so. So here we have a process of matching. We play two half notes, an E, for example, in the second, the E, the same E in the sevenths. So we have 2, 7, 2, 7, back and forth, and sustain the last note. Remove the mouthpiece and rest a moment and move on. I continue at this point with the form studies in the back of the book as before. Now from here on, we're almost on an even keel with the trombone player. So I'll take the trumpet manual at this time. This is group 8. Group 8 in the trumpet manual. And this is the 8th stay, and this is for breathing. All drills on both pages are done in both a standing and a sitting position. That's very important. And by the way, in most other cases, I do like you to stand up for your pivot stabilizer. I meant to say that, and somehow I neglected to bring it to your attention. Please stand up. But here in this case, we do it in both a standing and a sitting position because we want to make our breathing the same from the hips up, so to speak. Now we play a half note as we have in drill 1. And then there's a half rest, then a high C, then a half rest, and a middle C. Now the idea here is we play the fortissimo third space C. During the 2 beats, we do not breathe. We do not breathe. But when we hit the high C, we give a pronounced synchronized lift in the diaphragm and abdominal regions, and we change the vowel from the 2, which we used in the middle register, to the T, which we use and sustain in the high register. Again, there's no breath with the half beat rest, and we come back to the 2 again, to the middle C, the middle register. This must be practiced until the tongue, that is the lift of the tongue, and the lift of the diaphragm and abdominal regions are synchronized. And this is also done when we make the slur in the next part of the drill. The C, the high C and back. The C pianissimo to the fortissimo high C and back. And here we use a pronounced lift of the diaphragm and abdominal regions while our vowels change from 2 to E for the high C and back again to the U for the middle C. This is very important. It's a very difficult drill, but you will get a great deal out of it, believe me. It's simple in itself, but it's difficult to do correctly. When you're through with it, again, turn in the back of the book to the form studies and continue. And now, drill 8, or group 8, in the pivot system for trombone was the same air chamber drill that we gave the trumpet players a little while ago, so I'll go over this one rather quickly. The work should be studied on page 40, that is the air chamber theory, and on pages, 41 and 42, you take the drill slurred the way it is, you move the mouthpiece at the check mark, And when the drill is completed, look at the back. That is the end of the day. Look at the end of the day and notice that there's a row of 16th notes to be single-tongued. That's what they mean when they say staccato. So you take the whole drill and do it slurred as given, and then do it staccato as given at the end of the drill. The idea is to make the tongue drop of the vowel quickly enough when passing from one air chamber to another. Please use the positions indicated because they are there for a very definite purpose. And now we come to drill 9 in the trumpet manual. It's an attack and tongue drill, and it's to show you the length of the tongue stroke. It should actually be the length of the tongue backstroke, as you'll learn later. Here we have sforzando piano, plain bell tones, whole notes, from a third space C, going to high C, and back. Now we take the same thing in drill 2, the 3 beats of triplets and a quarter note, and now look at the bottom of the page. First we have it, number 1, pianissimo and allegro. And that's because it's a short, pointed note with a short length of tongue backstroke. Now do it again, number 2, now it's MF, and as it gets louder, now it's moderato, it's a short pointed note with a medium length of tongue backstroke. And now number 3, it's fortissimo, and it's adagio. It's slow because the stroke of the tongue must be long. So here we say a short pointed note with a long length of tongue backstroke. And number 4 is a graduated thing in dynamics from piano to 40. And then from fortissimo or 40 down to piano. And finally, from piano up to 40 and back again in the same drill. You might call this gymnastics for your tongue. First of all, it covers about every phase of your single tongue relationship. And it deals with a tongue backstroke. If you read the encyclopedia, you'll find that I do strict attention to the fact that the length of the tongue backstroke and the speed of the tongue backstroke are determining factors for both volume and speed. Whereas the level of the tongue arch, that is the A-U-E, the vowel, governs the range to a certain extent. So that this page is extremely important, and it's indeed time well spent for tongue gymnastics. I would not use it as a triple tongue at this time because there's so much material, I'd forget the triple and double on this page because in the back of the book, it's just full of triple and double tongue. So believe me, you're not being cheated. And that represents the 9 days on the trumpet. Now you go back, continue with the form studies, which happens to be the next page, and on. Now, your next day, that was your 9th day, we're going in to an exercise which I'm going to explain in a minute after I'm finished and concluded the trombone work. Now, the trombone, as you know, has 2 more daily groups in it than the trumpet manual. So on page 44, we have a flexibility routine. It's done first slurred in the first position, the second position, which is the half tone lower, third position, whole tone lower, fourth position, tone half lower, and each time a degree louder because we want to get dynamics into flexibility. So we do it first pianissimo, then piano, then mezzo forte, then fortissimo, and each time a half tone lower, meaning the first, second, third, and fourth positions. Now you go back and you staccato the same thing. So you staccato very softly, and then second position, third position, fourth position, and each time get louder accordingly. Now on drills 15 and 16, on page 45 for the trombone, I want the slide to stop in each and every position. Please hear me. I want the slide to stop in each and every position. This is very important. And now the 10th day, which is the breathing drill for the trombone. As I explained a moment ago for the trumpet, it's the same thing for the trombone. I want it in a standing and a sitting position. The half note, as given, is 2 for the middle B flat, and the half rest, in which you do not breathe, you do not change. But as you go to hit the high B flat, the T vowel, the vowel suddenly becomes T, and in synchronized fashion, there's a lift from the diaphragm and abdominal regions. And come back to 2, and the diaphragm and abdominal regions come back in synchronized fashion to the middle range, so to speak. You're going to perfect that movement in both a standing and a sitting position. And next, the slur, the two to the E and back again. It's all written there. All you have to do is study it. When you get through the 10th day, please turn to the form studies again on page 50. And as usual, continue. Now the 11th day for trombone. This was just explained for the trumpet, so I'll make it very brief. This is for attack and tongue. It's the length of the tongue backstroke, actually. We start with bell tones. That is sforzando piano. And we go up the chromatic scale that way, four beats each. When they're not too good, please repeat them until they are. And you go up one octave and come back. Then when that's completed, you take drill two and you put it on drill one, meaning that the whole notes, instead of whole notes now, we have three beats of triplets and then a quarter note, all done single tongue up the scale. Now, that is done six different ways if you look on the bottom of page 49. First is done very soft and very fast because of the short length of tongue stroke. Then moderately loud. It's a little slower. Then very loud. It's much slower. And now number four, it's a graduated volume from piano to 40. Number five, graduated volume again, but this time from 40 to piano. And then number six, from piano to 40 and back to piano. This is a very important routine. And again, turn on with the form studies. At the end of this point, I want to explain a drill to both the trumpet and trombone factions who happen to be listening. To the trumpet players, this is the 10th day that I'm explaining. To the trombone players, this is the 12th day. Now, after the 10th day for the trumpet and the 12th day for the trombone, we return to the back of the book. And this time, the object is to pass the pencil marks. In other words, we're constantly building reserve, but do not allow some thoughtless, illogical practice period to tear it down and destroy it. Please remember that I've been referring to that throughout. I hope the day comes when your drills are all memorized and you can then close your eyes so that you can get the full benefit of feel. As I stated earlier, I use 104 drills, and this represents a few drills that have been well time-tested. Now, this next drill is called Pivot System Warm-Up 57. I use numbers like this and sometimes rather humorous titles because I want people to have something to refer to, and I can refer to them on the phone. Sometimes it's done by numbers, sometimes it's done by names. This happens to be called Pivot System Warm-Up 57, and it is taking in a lot of your drills as one. Now, many professionals favor this routine a great deal, and therefore, I want to take the time to put it in your studies right now in your orientation. The first line you'll see is nothing but the C spiderweb for trumpet. It starts on the third space C. It's a whole note, and it goes to the D flat a half a tone higher, slurred. You're told to use a who, no tongue, attack, because the wind and the lips are basic. The tongue is supposed to be a refining factor, not a crutch. So I want you to start with just a who attack, the same as the other drills, no matter how few notes are in a drill. They are so spaced that they occupy one complete playing breath. Therefore, you have a right to assume that the tempo would be painfully slow. Inhale through the mouth corners, not the mouth center, and repeat. When you've concluded the repeat, remove the mouthpiece from the lips for a momentary rest, again to permit the blood to circulate. Continue and conclude the line in this manner. You go up to a minor third and down to a minor third, and that's actually the end of the line. I want to repeat here throughout this drill. And never warm up so loudly that you experience strain, or so softly that you feel a pinching or holding back. Now, line two is a flexibility type of line. Flexibility, strictly. So the first time we do it with the open horn on trumpet and pianissimo. And the second valve on piano. The first valve, MF. And one and two, fortissimo. In short, the first drill to be slurred rapidly is C down to G, The second one is B down to F sharp. That's the second valve. The third one is B flat down to F. That's the first valve. And the fourth one is the A down to the E. And that is fortissimo. So we have graduated dynamics, and we have a half tone lower each time. By the same token, the trombone plays the B flat down to the F, and in the second position, the A to the E, the third position, A flat to E flat, the fourth position, G to D, and so forth. And again, dynamics are graduated all the way from pianissimo to fortissimo, each position and each pitch becoming louder than the one before. Now return to the beginning of the second line, both the trumpet and the trombone players, and go through the same procedure, but this time with a single staccato. That is, graduate the dynamics, graduate the pitches as suggested before. So the second line is slurred four times, so to speak, and tongued four times, and both with repeats. Now line three. Line three are ascending chromatic fourths. Very, very effective in the extension of range on a brass instrument. So I'll discuss the trumpet first. Slur it with a crescendo, inhale through the mouth corners, not the mouth center, and repeat, and remove the mouthpiece. Now take the same thing once more. This time, a soft tongue, a legato tongue, or a semi-legato tongue, if you choose to call it that. That is a dot and a slur. Make the repeat, remove the mouthpiece again. And finally, this time very marcato, each note with a definite detached attack, and make a repeat. At the end of the drill, rest momentarily and move on. Conclude the line in this manner. It's the same way with the trombone, only if I'm going to shock you, I'm going to do it well, real good right now. In the first note, all the way to the E flat, that is chromatically, I do not want a tongue other than the first note. So this is a no tongue, legato, or slur. Make a repeat in the same manner, then remove the mouthpiece. And finally, very marcato and detached, very symphonic, each note. And remove the mouthpiece for rest. Conclude the line in this manner. Now, at the end of the trumpet line, I want the low chromatic slurred rapidly many times, from low C to low F sharp. And then, after that relaxation, rest. In the case of the trombone, I want at least four or five juicy, big B flat pedals, and then rest. Now, this is the first part of the drill, and go as far as you can. Again, don't bite off more than you can chew. At the end, you'll notice the trombone I put in tenor clef, and I did this for the reasons of not using so many ledger lines. I suggest learn the clef anyway, if you haven't already. Now, if you'll come in the other room, I will try to get you straight on this avalanche of material. And please, have plenty of questions ready, and I will do my best to answer them. Thank you very much. I hope that you get a great deal from this orientation before you leave today. This is Dr. Donald S. Reinhardt.